from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right. Not just the Bills reporting to camp this week, but the rest of the league will be there at some point, whether or not they are already. One of those is the Green Bay Packers, but without Jordan Love. He is going to apparently go to the facility, but he will not practice. So this will not be a holdout for Jordan Love. He is trying to work out, they are trying to work out a new contract with each other. Both sides want to do it. They want to get it done. There's a guy that was arguably the best quarterback in the league for the second half of last season. He is signed through this year. But we'll see what it looks like and how that all shakes out. Also, the Dolphins made news this weekend. They had a retirement of Shaq Barrett. Shaq Barrett retired from the NFL. Shaq Barrett, one of the best all-time Buccaneers, actually. I mean, so that's how good he was the last 10 years. And signed in the offseason with the Miami Dolphins. I think he was the all-time single-season sack leader for Tampa. Signed massive contract a few years ago. He's getting a little older. Signs this offseason with the Dolphins. And then just a few days before camp, he retires. Now, this is a Dolphins team, remember, that has Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips both coming off major injuries, and both have been placed on the active, physically unable to perform list to start camp. So they're not going to be ready yet. So the Dolphins are apparently working out and having in visits by Yannick Ngakoue and Emmanuel Ogba, I think, is what I read. So the Dolphins are kind of scrambling. Now, this is important because the Bills play the Dolphins week two. The Bills play the Dolphins week two on that Thursday night. So we'll see where this all shakes out with Miami, but not a great start for them as far as rushing the passer, who they have, and how that goes. And they have the Jordan Love situation also unfolding in Green Bay. Not a holdout. They'll get something done eventually, but he will not practice, apparently, until he has a new contract. Bills open up training camp on Wednesday. Players report tomorrow. Of course, St. John Fisher University, once again, where they've been since 2001. Actually, it's been quite a while. Been there for over 20 years. And Dan Fates has been covering the team for quite a while out there at St. John Fisher. Dan joins me on the Western Hotline. What year did you start covering the Bills? What year did you start over there in Rochester?
2016. It was Rex Ryan's final season was my first year covering the team.
And obviously, a lot has changed since then. At least you didn't have a 13 or 17-year playoff drought of covering them. Only a couple of years. You've kind of only known the Bills being successful pretty much most of your time covering the team.
Yeah, I remember being in Miami when the snap was broken, when the drought was snapped.
That's
so
right.
That was standing outside of the locker room is always a fun way to remember how that all went down with the McDermott season. I think people forget too, Sal. That was the Peterman season.
That's
like,
right.
Like for as much as everybody jokes around about, and Peterman is unfortunately the butt of a lot of jokes, that was the year that everybody kind of thinks of that. You also sometimes you forget that that was the year they snapped the drought.
No doubt about it. And by the way, Dan, of course, at 13 WHAM in Rochester, does a great job covering the team. Jenna Cottrell, Mike Catalana, newest member, by the way, one of the newest members with John Murphy into the New York State Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. That's pretty cool. We'll catch up with him at training camp to talk with him a little bit about that. But I want to ask you, from your perspective, as a guy that's covered camp there, lives there, what does training camp being in Rochester mean to the community of Rochester?
It means everything. And I think that gets thrown out a lot, but Rochester doesn't have a major sports team, and the Amherst are fun, and the Red Wings do okay. They get people in there because they do great promotions, but like golf's the big thing in Rochester. We always kind of say that golf is Rochester's major sport and their professional sport that they really dive into. And then it's the 2 weeks out of the year, that it's been recently that the Bills come into town. Everything kind of stops. This is the time that Rochester kind of gets to show off. Fisher's a great location, right in Pittsburgh. Fairport's near it. You have the Erie Canal. You have villages. All those things. It really is kind of what really drives a lot of stuff in the summer. So it's great. I think it'll always stay there. I know Sean McDermott loves it. I know there's always that talk about will they leave and all these things. And it's more financial than it is football decisions, I think, at some level, about getting contracts done, but it really has been a perfect partnership. And I think the players enjoy it since they've shortened it. I think going through this 2 week period works well for all sides.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, we all thought that right a while ago. Oh, they're building the stadium. They're going to keep the training camp here. And Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, to their credit, they kept telling us, that's not the case. We like going away. We value going away. And we're like, yeah, well, we'll see what happens when it actually happens. Well, guess what? Here they are. They still go away. And I agree with you. I think they value it. I think they value it from a camaraderie standpoint, from a team-building standpoint, from a culture standpoint.
And I think in the beginning, too, I remember when Sean McDermott came in, and he was talking about these these campfire conversations and sitting there and guys telling stories and getting to know one another. And being honest, the first year, I was like, who cares? Like, it's all about talent. Like, you gotta have talent. I was wrong. That has worked out. That family that they have built, that they have started at training camp, it really works out. And one last thing on the fan side, I know there are people in Buffalo that maybe are like, oh, I wish they could have, training camp back at the stadium. Be careful what you ask for, Sal, because I think that if they ever do something like that with a new stadium, all these things, fans' access is going to be limited
100%.
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, look at what these other teams do that don't go away for training camp. There's not open practices. You'll get one practice, maybe, that you'll get to see inside the stadium. Around the league, that like, even the Pittsburgh practice, it's closed to fans. Like, this is kind of what it is. So I know it's a little bit – I know it's a drive. Trust me, I do the drive the other way for practice all the time. But just be thankful that there is – I know tickets are what they are and they're tough to get and all these things. But just be thankful that it is at Fisher and they do have the open availability for most part. I think it's important.
Not only as a reporter covering it, but you have a lot of friends, family, people who go out there over the years. You've kind of understood how it works. What's some good advice if someone wants to go out to camp? Maybe they haven't been out there before. Maybe they only go out once or twice a year. They're thinking about tickets. If they have a ticket, they're thinking about parking. They're thinking about the day, how the day looks for the kids. What can you kind of tell people who might be thinking about going out or are going out?
Yeah, get there early. And honestly, for the parking, for the most part, because they're going on 20 years, they really kind of have everything kind of figured out with people flagging down and things like that. Like, it's not like this is some new operation that they're bringing to Rochester. So it's pretty much a well-oiled machine. And then for the most part, like I said, for anybody that hasn't been there, like, get there early. And the players embrace that too. I think that's what we talked about, the interaction with fans, being to see them. They're signing autographs before practice. If they're not, they're signing them well after practice. That was my memory, like growing up in Rochester, like going to see Doug Flutie and these guys and like all this stuff like that. I still remember when Jason Peters was a tight end and my dad's pointing him out to me like, look at this guy. Like I remember all of that stuff because of, heck, it was getting tape from players. It was getting a glove. It was like that was what you remembered as a child, like growing up being a sports fan. So embrace it. Spend the day there. Don't rush it. You know, I think at times, sometimes fans can get frustrated, and maybe it's the older fans where they go on the side field and you can't really see as much. Stick around. Stay around after. Don't rush to leave to the buses. Like, everything's going to be fine, and the players are always receptive. I give them credit.
Yeah, and all the activities that go on in the parking lot, too, right? I mean, maybe the kid needs a break or something. Maybe, like, they're doing some sort of – they're not throwing bombs all over the place to the wide receivers, and the kids are like, hey, they got a little mini golf out there, right? There's a lot of stuff going on out there, too.
Pictures, photo ops, Billy Buffalo. Like, they do a great job as well. Like, again, if you're – 4 or 5 year old daughter isn't super into football, there's other stuff that they can, you know, occupy time and have a day with the family. So it's, again, very excited. I think it worked out well for everybody.
Dan Fates joining me on the Wester Hotline. From your perspective versus Buffalo, give me a peek behind the curtain. What's the difference between coming to Buffalo to cover a practice versus you in your own backyard going to Rochester? How your day looks as a TV reporter?
It's a lot easier. It's a lot less of a drive. It's pretty nice to just kind of wake up and go 10 minutes to Fisher. My house isn't too far away. Get to spend a little bit more time with the kids in the morning, help my wife out with the two girls. And then, you know, except I'm like them. Like, you know, obviously usually McDermott talks, 8:30, 9 o'clock, somewhere in that range. It's nice to kind of get there early, parking right there. And it's nice to be home, you know, and to get to shower right after being out in the hot sun and getting to go and hang out with the kids after and make dinner. So all of that stuff really kind of plays in well for me. So I appreciate these 11 or 12 practices for sure.
What road trip are you looking forward to most this year looking at the schedule?
Yeah, Jenna and I both travel. Mike goes to every game, and then Jenna or I kind of photog for him in around the field.
Oh, she told me this story. You guys had a draft.
Yeah, we do a draft. So last year, I was just expecting my second kid, so I let Jenna pick first, and she took London because I didn't think my wife would be thrilled with me being gone for a week while she takes care of a two-month-old. But it was so this year I got the first pick, and I think I surprised her. I took Baltimore.
Wow.
I love some of these games. I love the magnitude of some of these games. So I took the Sunday night game in Baltimore. I have the Monday night Jets game. I have the Thursday night Dolphins games. I think those ones
You're
are really cool
guy.
To me.
Yeah.
I like the magnitude of, like, walking on the field, it's already dark, and being like, this is a big game, and everybody's dialed in. And, you know, Jenna was fascinated that I didn't take Seattle as the first game. But Seattle's actually on my birthday.
Yes.
And my daughter's 4 years old, and I think she'd be pretty bummed if Daddy was across the country. So that was also a family play. I'll be back home that day. But excited for Baltimore. Excited for I think that's a really great city, great fan base. Also there, cool stadium. All those things factor into some of our road trip drafts that's on the Buffalo Plus YouTube channel.
Good for you, by the way. Thinking about your daughter there. She told us that story, too. She thought you were going to take Seattle, and you didn't because of that. So she gets to go to Seattle. But good for you, and I'm sure your daughter is very, very appreciative of that. Dan Fates, 13 Wham Rochester, joining me on the Wester Hotline. I'm asking listeners today, what's your biggest confidence and what's your biggest concern in the Buffalo Bills roster? You can't say Josh Allen for confidence.
Yeah.
What's your biggest confidence? What's your biggest concern when it comes to the roster?
I think some people have concerns about safety, right? Because you lost Poyer and Hyde, and that's understandable. You're not going to be able to replace that experience. But I'm actually pretty confident in the safety position and the secondary because it's Sean McDermott and it's Bobby Babbage. If there's one thing that I trust Sean McDermott to do, and I know listeners are probably freaking out right now, is how could you have come? Sean McDermott knows how to coach safety. And I know that because Poyer and Hyde was more well-known when he got to Buffalo, but they were not the players they were when they got to Buffalo. So while at times during the offseason when I was going, man, they really need to sign a safety, they need to get somebody's backup, I'm okay with Taylor Rapp and whether it's Cole Bishop or whether it's somebody, you know, DeMar Hamlin. All of those, DeMar Hamlin had almost 100 tackles when Micah Hyde went down that year. So, like, I'm very confident in the back half of the secondary. I'm also really confident in the offensive line. I think the way the offensive line played last year, it's also, I don't know if you want to call it luck, but preparation that all those guys stayed healthy, all of those things. I'm very confident in Josh Allen's protection, which I think is massive. My concern is probably just like everybody else's. It's the wide receiver. I've been critical of, did they do enough? I think they have 4 to 5 guys now that could have 500-600 yards? Do they have the go-to guy on 3rd and 14? That's my worry. And for everybody that says, well, Kincaid can be this number one guy, and he'll carry this offense, I think that's a lot to ask of a second-year tight end. And I went back through the last 10 years, because everybody just says, it is easy, right, when people take a small sample size of games and say, well, if you do this over X amount of games, that's what they should end up with next year. Look at what Kincaid did after the first four games where he was kind of getting his feet wet. Look, if you do that, you'll have X amount of yards. Well, that's easier said than done, because if you look at Stephon Diggs, the first 8 games of the season, you know he's on pace for 1,900 yards. So I'm a little bit concerned about who's the go-to guy in this offense. I have tons of confidence in Joe Brady with a full offseason. We've heard, you know, tons of reviews about now that he's going to get to use his whole arsenal. You know, he was kind of painting with other people's brushes. Now he gets to do all of his own thing. So that's my one concern is, do they have guys that can convert? Is this still a passing league? For as well as the Bills ran the ball, and as good as the Bills' offensive line was, it's still a passing league. So that's a little bit my concern. And I think the wild card, and it's weird to say this, Von Miller.
Yeah.
What are they going to get? Are they going to get Von Miller from the last 2 games of the season, or are they going to get the 36-year-old edge rusher that didn't really have it? Because they didn't really add any pass rusher, and their pass rush was okay last year, maybe middle of the road. Like, it didn't, I don't think it struck too much fear in anybody else. But I think that's where my one thing is the number one pass catcher. Who's the go-to guy? Who's going to have that 1,200 yards receiving that I think a lot of teams, good playoff teams, you know, deep playoff teams have? And can they get consistent enough edge pressure, whether it's AJ Epenesa, Greg Rousseau, and like I said, Von Miller? I was just looking at ESPN's depth chart, so take that all with a grain of salt. I know it's July 22nd, but AJ Epenesa is listed as a starter and Greg Rousseau.
Yep.
Like, that's what Von Miller are you going to get? Because he's getting paid a lot of money, and they need him. I know it's crazy to say, like, obviously, but they need the Von Miller that they had before the ACL, and I don't know how realistic that is.
How realistic do you think it is for Matt Milano to return to form?
I think pretty well, because he's got a guy like Terrell Bernard next to him.
Yeah.
Like, I think they play off so well off one another. The 4 games that they played, I know they were against the Raiders and the Commanders, but they also had the Dolphins game where they really were stifling. They forced a ton of turnovers. Like, in our business, you know, if you go to, you know, you need a video of a player because you're going to talk about him. If you need a good defensive play, you go to that Commanders game, because they had like 9 sacks. Everybody was flying around. And to see Bernard and Milano, the way they forced turnovers, that was a critique of Tremaine Edmonds, was that he didn't have enough splash plays. Those guys, Bernard and Milano, make splash plays, impactful plays, those kind of things. So I thought he looked pretty good for being, you know, I'm glad he got out there during the OTAs, because I think that way we're not all sitting there going, is Matt, where's Milano? How's he looking? So I think I'm pretty confident in the fact that Milano will still be Matt Milano.
I've heard different, you know, opinions on this than I have. People we debate because we don't know yet. Who do you think calls defensive plays? There's some in the media that I've talked to who think it's going to be Sean McDermott. There's some that's going to be Bobby Babich. I think it'll be Bobby Babich, but you tell me what you think.
I think it's Bobby Babich. That's part of it, and this is maybe looking too far into it, but that's kind of what we do, right?
Right.
All the time, it is our job. Why would Babich want the job if he wasn't, not guaranteed play calling, but to be the guy that gets to call the play?
And I could tell you, and you know this, we can confirm, he had other opportunities. He could have left. We don't know if they were offering play calling duties, but doesn't it just make sense, what you just said?
And their relationship, like almost fatherly relationship between McDermott and Babich, the way that they've talked with one another and the way they've kind of come up through it. So maybe it's not the first game, Sal, and maybe it's not the second game, but I just find it hard to believe that you're going to want to take the defense. And I'm not saying it's going to be all Bobby Babich. Obviously Sean's going to have a say. Obviously Sean had input on Leslie Frazier's defense and all of these things. I think it's going to be though a Bobby Babich called defense by the end of the season with tons of Sean McDermott influence, because that's who Babich has grown up with. And that's the thing, too. Babich knows. I was talking about how much we love the safety play from Poyer and Hyde and how they turned into all pros in Buffalo. obviously it's a lot because of their talent, intuitiveness, instincts, all of those things. But the coaching helps them get there. And I think it's so easy that when a player plays well, the player gets all the credit. And when the player stinks, everybody critiques the coaches. And I don't think that's always necessarily black and white. Like, they go together. So the fact that Babich has this knowledge of the secondary, the linebackers with Milano and Bernard, all of these things, I think he will call plays. Again, will Sean McDermott tell us? Probably. I don't know if he'll do it at Fisher. And I know we'll all sit there and we'll ask him, but what benefit does McDermott have telling the media and telling the world, hey, it's me, I'm calling him again? Like, so again, I do think there are some frustrating things about our job because it's part of our duties and our job in reporting. But I also do try and take the side, too, of the coaches going, well, he doesn't say anything. It's like, well, what benefit does he have telling us in the media one way or another?
Yeah, because if he says it'll be me and then he decides that it's actually going to be Babich, people are going to be wondering, well, did he have too much on his hands? See, this is what we're talking about. But if he says it's Babich and then he does it, then that's a reflection on people will think it's because Babich couldn't handle it. There's almost a no-win there.
Absolutely. Or, again, maybe Babich starts and then all of a sudden we see McDermott talking into the mic during, you know, that the play clock. And all of a sudden, you know, everything gets looked at with a fine-tooth comb. I think calling plays has to be one of the most difficult things in all the sports, especially coaching. 25 seconds to call the plays and all of this thing. So I do try and have some grace. I know maybe not all the listeners understand that. Trust me, my DMs on game days are Sean McDermott doesn't know how to coach and all these things when Patrick Mahomes drives down the field after the Bills forced three punts, but then the Chiefs drive down the field and score a touchdown, and all of a sudden my DMs are flooded with McDermott can't do it. Like, what, guys, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Do you have open DMs? Do you have open DMs?
Yeah.
I tried it. I just couldn't do it. Maybe I'll go back to it. I just couldn't do it, man. It just got too much.
Yeah, you're busy during the game.
Yeah, I know.
If I'm anchoring and I'm just, you know, sitting back in the studio, I feel like sometimes I've come across as a Sean McDermott apologist, but I feel like sometimes when things go bad, it's all the coach's fault. When things go good, it's all the player's credit. And that's the same thing, too, on a quarterback, right? You get all the blame or all the praise. So I do end up, you know, kind of sitting there. And people, again, the biggest one I've gotten this year is how bad of a season would it have to be to have McDermott fired? Mm-hmm. Zero. 0% chance that Sean McDermott is fired this season. It would have to be a unbelievable dumpster fire that we have not seen in 20 years in Buffalo. The team rallied around everything last year. When this team could have folded before the Philly game and all of these things, the Denver game was terrible, all of these things, and the team rallied around. And that's when a coach loses the locker room, that's one thing. I know people want to just fire coaches to fire coaches because they think it's so easy to find the next guy. But Sean McDermott has proven, I know listeners are probably freaking out, but like, he has proven time and time again, he can coach a high level defense, even with all the injuries they had last year, and the team really rallied for him.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on a lot of that. And by the way, that's what we get a lot here at WGR, and we talk a lot about that every day. It's what fans, you know, a lot of fans call in or say the same thing. So no doubt about that, we're on the same wavelength. I want to ask you real quick. Dan Fates, by the way, is a big baseball fan. He's an Atlanta Braves fan. We're not going to talk about our teams, the Yankees and Braves. It's not going as well as we'd look. I am curious, what changes that baseball has made over the last few years? Give me one that you really like that's worked out and one that you really think has been a bad change, if either of those fit.
I really like the review system. I wish they would expand it. I've all been for more cameras, all these things. I'm a fan of the automated balls and strikes, the way that they've done it in minor league baseball, where it's just a simple touch of the hat, like a tennis review. I don't know why we're doing that. I don't know why this, in 2024, we're still letting human error dictate a massive moment in a big game. It doesn't make any sense to me. The thing maybe I don't like, the All-Star game, I've lost all interest in. Just, I think that's the first thing that pops into my head just because we're here. And that kind of bothers me just because I remember growing up seeing, you know, Barry Bonds rob, you know, Torrey Hunter rob Barry Bonds in cool moments in All-Star games. And the Home Run Derby stinks. So those are probably the two that I wish they could do something different. But besides that, again, I'm old school. I still watch probably at parts 140 Braves games a year at some point. So I can sit down, throw away the remote, and watch a baseball game The pitch clock, I'm fine with. I don't think that's adding to injuries. But for the most part, I just wish they would continue to try and get into the 21st century with whether it's social media, whether it's their marketing, because I still think that they aren't great at it.
What about the Ghost Runner and the shift?
Yeah, that's a good one. The Ghost Runner is kind of annoying. I understand you're trying to save arms and try to get not have games go 16, 17 innings. But I wish they would just play baseball. I think sometimes that gets a little bit annoying. And what was the other one you said? The Ghost Runner and
the shift, banning the shift.
Yeah, I wish you players would just learn how to hit the ball the other way. Right, like
I'm the other way. I think it's so hard. I think it robs us. I like the fact they'd be on the shift. I think it allows hitters to be hitters better.
I agree because I want more runs.
Yeah,
like I am not a fan of a 2-1 soccer game. I'm not a fan necessarily of a 2-1 baseball game. I get it. There are great pitching events and great pitching duels and all that stuff. You get that in the playoffs. I'm with you. I just want more runs. I want more action. I'm the same thing now with the NHL and the overtime rule. Like, what the heck happened? Like, it was a great idea, and now everything is turned into, they pull it all the way out of the zone. I wish they would keep things the way they were. I'm with you, Sal.
Hey, tell everybody what you guys got going on, Buffalo Plus, the YouTube channel, the podcast, all that stuff going on, especially during training camp out at Rochester.
Yeah, we'll have daily videos up pretty much after every practice. Mike, Jen, and I will recap it, and we're also going to talk about our top pass catcher of the day. I think that's something that everybody wants to know about. So whether it's good or bad, we're going to kind of identify what we see as pass catchers that have stood out, because it could be a running back, it could be a wide receiver, it could be a tight end. So that's something we're going to do. And we have podcasts out every Tuesday morning. So we'll record one today about our top five storylines heading into training camp.
Dan Fates. Dan, thank you so much. I'll see you out at camp, obviously. We're all going to be out there for, like I said to Andy Young earlier, it's a grind, but it's a fun grind with everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun grind, and I will see you on Wednesday, Sal, man.
All right, you got it, buddy. That is Dan Fates on the Wester Hotline. Sean McDermott will speak to the media at 9:15 a.m. Could be a little before that on Wednesday. We'll carry that live here on WGR. Jeremy and Joe will be out there. They'll have their show live from camp. I'll be joining them in the morning, and then I'll be covering camp throughout the day and the afternoon. Of course, we'll have everything here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Still have a half hour left here of the Extra Point Show. I have a question out there I've asked, and I'd like your response. The question is, what, after all the offseason now is settled and they head into the season with training camp, in 2 days, what position, player, whatever you want to call it, on the Bills roster are you most confident in, and what are you most concerned about outside of Josh Allen? Can't say Josh Allen most confident. What on the roster has you most confident? What on the roster has you most concerned? We'll take your phone calls at 803-0550. Nobody on hold right now, so you call up, you're going to get on here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I expect Kincaid to be probably in the top 8 to 10 tight ends, and the ceiling is even higher. Why can't he be Sam Laporta, right? Why can't he go to that level? I wouldn't say he's ready to be Kelce yet, but I think the way that the Bills are constructing this team, he's going to be one of the primary two or three weapons, and why not? If he continues to ascend the way he did towards the end of last season, why can't he be one of the best top 5 tight ends in the league and really be one of Josh Allen's top options?
That is Andy Young from Spectrum News. He joined me on the West Her Hotline a little bit a while ago today, earlier today. Oh, actually over an hour ago. Time flies when you're having fun, right? We're having fun here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. If you missed Andy Young, you missed Dan Fates, check it out on the Odyssey app, WGR550.com, on-demand audio. Check all of that out. We'll have Sabres Live today, and then One Bills Live, of course, after that. And then it'll be Shopin' the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Last week, I teased, this is what happened last week. I think I hosted this time slot one time last week because we've been moving around with, you know, Jeremy has been on paternity leave and I've been filling in the mornings and then I was on this time slot one day. I think one time, and during that time slot last week, I said, hey, the Bills and Odyssey and WGR made an announcement and we'll talk about it. And I never did. And I felt really bad afterwards. So I want to say congratulations to Chris Brown. Chris Brown, of course, has been named the full-time play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. So he'll return for another season. Of course, last year he was the interim play-by-play announcer for John Murphy, who has now officially stepped aside. Chris Brown will be on play-by-play. Eric Wood will be the color analyst once again. And I will be on the sidelines again. So the band is back together. This will be my 11th year on the Bills sidelines. I think I got to write a book someday. Sideline Tales with Sal.
Oh, I like that.
Something like that, right?
I like that.
I mean, not many people, I'm so blessed and fortunate to be on the sidelines, but especially, I mean, 11 years, that's pretty rare, I think. If you go around, most people that are, my buddy John Harris, who does it for the Texans, he's been on there a long time. My buddy TJ Reeves for the Buccaneers, he's been on there a long time. But most around the league, you have some turnover there because of radio rights and because of just personnel and attrition. But over those 11 years, I've seen a lot. I've heard a lot. Hmm. Now, you're not going to give away state secrets necessarily if you're writing a book while you're still in the job. So, you know, maybe you have to wait for that stuff. But you definitely have some moments. I should think about it. I think, like, number one would be maybe, like, moments. Sidelines, what things were like something that comes to mind right away. The fight. The fight between the Jags and the Bills.
That was one of my
first
things.
I got bumped against the wall by Leonard Fournette and Shaq Lawson.
My second favorite sideline moment, at least from what I remember you saying, was when your story about when you caught the out-of-bounds kick at the Bills-Rams game.
I have that on video. That's a great story. Yeah. I would have to go back and think of all these stories. You're right, because that was a great one. So, opener of 2022. The opener of 2022. We're in L.A. against the Rams. The Bills are on a Thursday night. And I'm standing right around maybe the 20-yard line or so, 10-yard line, down by where the Bills are kicking off towards that end zone. And this, excuse me, this is after a score. I'm not watching Tyler Bass kick because he's on the other side, but I'm waiting for the ball to be in the air. So I'm just kind of milling around, and I hear fans, a lot of Bills fans there. And I hear a lot of fans go, oh, and I'm like, oh, he must have shanked it or something. What is that noise? I look up and the ball is heading right towards me on the sidelines. And I'm like, all right. And I'm standing there and the Rams cheerleaders are all around me, right? So as it's coming down, I go, heads up, heads up. And the couple of cheerleaders kind of disperse. And I caught it. And I looked at the cheerleader like, yeah, I got this. I saved you. I didn't really save her, but it was great. It was great. I got it on film. And I always showed everybody the video. I'm like, see that? I showed the cheerleader that I caught the ball for. So there you go.
It's definitely one of my favorite moments because that was when I
caught a Tyler Bass kickoff.
When I was producing, you were mentioning that on literally on Monday.
And I think maybe even on the broadcast, Murph threw it down to me. I'm like, yeah, guys, I caught the kickoff. Unfortunately, it went out of bounds, so but I caught the kickoff. That was one. And
did
then
you keep
actually,
the football?
No, I couldn't do that. I had to give it back. The football comes your way sometimes when you're on the sidelines. It just comes your way. It just happens. And like, there's an out of bounds throw comes your way. I'm like there's like four or five people right in that area, so I'll grab the ball, I'll give it back. That happened. The fight against the Jags, that was a big one. I get bumped against the wall, right? Leonard Fournette signs with the Bills last year. I told him, I'm like, dude, when you and Shaq got in that fight, man, I was like right against the wall. You guys like bumped me against the wall. It was like this crowning moment of me. I didn't want to get beat up, of course, right? But I like hightailed it out of there because I'm standing right there. Not a lot of room. That was one. Maybe though, I just thought about it. Maybe the moment that might even be ahead of all that. Bill Vinovich, referee Bill Vinovich. Bills are playing the Dolphins in the Saturday night game that's going to determine the AFC East if the Bills win in Buffalo 2 years ago. Remember they're wearing red, snow game. Bills are wearing red at home that game. Okay? Snowballs are coming down on the field. I think you all remember this game. Snowballs are coming down. It's a big deal. Like everybody's like, try to hit the, I got pelted with snowball. Come on, what are we doing? Don't hit me. Don't throw a snowball ever on the field. People were trying to hit me. There was literally a interview with Sean McDermott with the sideline reporter that night, and they had to put like umbrellas over there because people were trying to get their snowballs like on TV maybe. Anyway, so Bill Vinovich, the referee, snowballs are raining down, Evan.
Oh, right. This was the Miami game.
Yes,
I had usher literally yell at someone saying, if you even look at snow,
yes,
I'll throw you out.
Well, what happened was Bill Vinovich, the referee, sees that I have a microphone. I'm on the radio, right? He thinks I'm the PA announcer for the game. He thinks I'm talking to the fans. He walks up to me and says, can you make an announcement to stop throwing snowballs? And I said,
sir. Try and pull a Sam Weich, right?
Yes, a Sam Weich. You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati, right? I said, sir, I am on the radio. I do not have access to the PA to announce to the fans. And he gave me this super puzzled look. Like, what are you talking about? You're on the radio and not the PA announcer. Why are you got a mic in your hand? It's just like you didn't. I don't know. It was kind of wild. So I have these great pictures that were taken. And I apologize. I think it was Harry Skull. Might have been Bill Whipper. But these guys, the great photographers on the sidelines. I have two great photographs. I got to get Bill Vinovich to sign one of these one day. I'm like, Bill, I know it's probably against the rules, but can you sign this for me? Like, well, I got to frame this. It's literally a picture of Bill Vinovich looking at me, asking me to talk, and then another one of him looking at me very puzzled when I tell him I can't because I'm
That's
on the radio.
Funny.
It's amazing.
I would buy that book.
Thank you. I got to write a book like that. I got to write a Sideline Tales with Sal book. Now, in my 11th year coming up, it's been 10 years on the sideline. My first game, I did not do preseason my first game. My first game was a regular season game. Opening game of 2014, Fred Jackson, stiff arms, Conti against the Bears. And it's right in front of me. Right in front of me. That's my first game on the sidelines.
There are times where I see highlights and I'll like point out, oh, there's Sal right there.
Right
on
in front of me. Oh my gosh. That's right. Fred Jackson, Bills win that game in overtime. It's been a great run. Hopefully it doesn't end for quite a while. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Sal. What's going on, man? You're bringing me back. And you know, you're going to have great stories, and I would definitely I'd have to buy the book in Braille. So, that's awesome. But I was listening to you earlier, and then I got distracted. I had to take care of something, and I wanted to come back. You know, my confidence is definitely in the linebackers. I actually was wearing my Milano jersey Friday night. So I call him 00058 because he's the spy, and then I call Terrell Bernard T-Bird. And then we got Russo, who is the Condor, you know, so... But my confidence in the linebackers is definitely there. My only concern is the edge rusher. I want another edge rusher. I want somebody that's going to cause havoc, you know. And yeah.
I think they need, what they need is a guy that offenses say he's the guy. We got to focus our protection on him, right? Like, they don't have that guy unless Von Miller can become that guy again. Because as much as Rousseau, right, Epinesa have had nice games, they're not that true guy that you focus your attention on going into a game.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm looking to see Rousseau do a lot better this year. I have a funny feeling he's going to step up a little more. Hopefully Von Miller can step up and get in great shape again and do what he does. But yeah, I'm looking forward to you on Monday mornings. I'm all hyped up for this season. I'm looking forward to listening to Chris Brown. Congratulations. Listening to the games, and I'm just all fired up.
I have a lot of
confidence in our receiving core. I think they're going to do well. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
You so got it, Rob.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure, Sal.
Yeah,
keep
thank
doing
you.
What you're doing.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. That's Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Also Getting Connected, we have Chris, who says nobody's mentioning Sam Martin as being a concern. Great, great call, Sam. On the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with Matt Bove, I mentioned that I think that Jack Browning could beat out Sam Martin. So, yes, I like that. I think that's a good call. Jeffrey says, I'll be the first in line for your book and an autograph. Thank you, Jeffrey. That means a lot to me. We'll take a time out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got some traction on this book idea. I just went out in the newsroom, WBEN. I was out with our account executives talking with them. And everybody's like, oh, you should totally write that book. You should totally write that book. We're debating the title. Sal's Sideline Stories. Sideline Tales with Sal.
I think I like the cut because it goes SSS. Sal's
Sideline Stories. Yeah, you always want that alliteration, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But it might have to happen. The best thing would be to be writing it during this season and then include this season, and then
right.
It culminates in a Super Bowl. The first time I ever was on the sidelines covering and broadcasting a Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
That would
Can
be
you
amazing.
Just, oh,
right?
Thinking about that.
I mean, it's come close the last few years. It is definitely like a, you know, it's something when you're in this business to go to these events, to cover these events. I mean, to have a chance, if I had a chance to literally be on the radio broadcast of a Super Bowl game would be pretty incredible, obviously, right? I mean, that's something you think about too. Yeah, maybe we got to start thinking about this book here, Sideline Tales. 10 years I've covered. I've gone through three different head coaches on the sidelines. Started with Doug Marrone.
You can even talk about the differences in, you know, interviewing.
Oh, 100%.
I think that would be great.
100%.
How many different quarterbacks have you gone through?
A lot. I was there on the sidelines for the Peterman game, right? I mean,
oh my gosh!
You have Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Fitz scream, right? That was actually I was not me. Joe Biscaglia was on the sidelines for that. But I was there for a few memorable ones for sure. I remember the Fitz scream. I was at the stadium for that, but Joe would have been on the sidelines for that one. 17, because it would have been 14. What year was the Fitz scream? 2011. Remember that? That was even 3 years before I got on the sidelines. That was Raiders, Patriots game 11. Not me yet. It's when I had just come back. We could do this.
That was right. When I started the tradition. After every Bills win, I wore something Bills related the next day.
I love it. There you go. Well, I always wear, I don't know. We can get into superstitions later. I don't want to get into that right now. We have a minute or so left here on the program. Thanks to Dan Fates. Thanks to Andy Young. Check it all out. Bills, obviously, in training camp on Wednesday. The team reports tomorrow. I got this funny email. Good email. I always get these kinds of interesting emails from different sources that want some publicity. So this one came from a place called Ontario Bets. And they write, and I didn't know this. This is why I'm going to give them credit, because they sent it to me. I can't verify this, but it looks right. They actually did, according to Pro Football Reference's uniform database, the Bills winning percentage in each color jersey. Since when? I don't even know. Do they say when it's since when here? Either way.
I've always known their stormtroopers have always had good luck.
Yeah, they have, but guess what? Red, 833 win percentage.
Wow.
White, 703. Blue, 692. Now, granted, they wear the red very much more infrequently. So that will change kind of the you know, they don't wear them as lots. So one win or one loss will obviously alter the winning percentage, right? But according to this Ontario Bet site that sent me this email, they've done this, and they said over 800 winning percentage for the Bills in red.
Now, when
the Bills in red?
Now, when they say blue, do they mean...
Blue tops.
Just blue tops?
Blue tops. Yeah, they're not talking pants, just jersey. It's jersey color. Okay. Red, the red, the white, or the blue. Yeah, they've done well, pretty well in the Stormtroopers, too. I'll tweet this out. Everybody can see it. At Sell Sports. Follow me on Twitter. All right, we got Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Veterans Report tomorrow. First training camp practice on Wednesday. Jeremy and Joel will be out there. Sean McDermott live at 9:15 a.m. here on Wednesday on WGR. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We got some traction on this book idea. I just went out in the newsroom, WBEN. I was out with our account executives talking with them. And everybody's like, oh, you should totally write that book. You should totally write that book. We're debating the title. Sal's Sideline Stories. Sideline Tales with Sal.
I think I like the, because it goes SSS. Sal's Sideline Stories.
Yeah, you always want that alliteration, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But it might have to happen. The best thing would be to be writing it during this season and then include this season, and then right. It culminates in a Super Bowl. The first time I ever was on the sidelines covering and broadcasting a Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh.
That would
Can
be
you
amazing.
Imagine just right? Thinking about that.
I mean, it's come close the last few years. It is definitely like a, you know, it's something when you're in this business to go to these events, to cover these events. I mean, to have a chance, if I had a chance to literally be on the radio broadcast of a Super Bowl game, would be pretty incredible, obviously, right? I mean, that's something you think about, too. Yeah, maybe we've got to start thinking about this. This book here, Sideline Tales. 10 years. 10 years I've covered. I've gone through three different head coaches on the sidelines. Started with Doug Marrone.
You can even talk about the differences in, you know, interviewing.
Oh, 100%.
I think that that would be great.
100%.
How many different quarterbacks have you gone through?
A lot. I was there on the sidelines for the Peterman game, right? I mean,
oh my gosh.
You have the Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Fitz scream. Right? That was actually, I was not me. Joe Biscaglia was on the sidelines for that. But I was there for a few memorable ones for sure. I remember the Fitz scream. I was at the stadium for that, but Joe would have been on the sidelines for that one. 17, because it would have been 14. What year was the Fitz scream? 2011. Remember that? That was even 3 years before I got on the sidelines. That was Raiders, Patriots game 11. Not me yet. It's when I had just come back. We could do this.
That was right. When I started the tradition. After every Bills win, I wore something Bills related the next day.
I love it. There you go. Well, I always wear, I don't know, we can get into superstitions later. I don't want to get into that right now. We have a minute or so left here on the program. Thanks to Dan Fates. Thanks to Andy Young. Check it all out. Bills, obviously, in training camp on Wednesday. The team reports tomorrow. I got this funny email, good email. I always get these kinds of interesting emails from different sources that want some publicity. So this one came from a place called Ontario Bets, and they write, and I didn't know this. This is why I'm going to give them credit, because they sent it to me. I can't verify this, but it looks right. They actually did, according to Pro Football Reference's uniform database, the Bills' winning percentage in each color jersey. Since when? I don't even know. Do they say when it's since when here? Either way.
I've always known their stormtroopers have always had good luck.
Yeah, they have, but guess what? Red, 833 win percentage.
Wow.
White, 703. Blue, 692. Now, granted, they wear the red very much more infrequently, so that will change kind of the, you know, the they don't wear them as a lot. So one win or one loss will obviously alter the winning percentage, right? But according to this Ontario Bet site that sent me this email, they've done this, and they said over 800 winning percentage for the Bills in red.
Now,
we
when they
Bills in red.
Now, when they say blue, do they mean
blue tops?
Just blue tops.
Blue tops. Not yeah, blue, they're not no, talking pants. No just pants. Jersey. It's jersey okay. color. Red. The red, the white, or the blue. Yeah, they've done well, pretty well in the Stormtroopers too. I'll tweet this out. Everybody can see it at Sell Sports. Follow me on Twitter. All right, we got Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Veterans Report tomorrow. First training camp practice on Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe will be out there. Sean McDermott live at 9:15 a.m. here on Wednesday on WGR. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.